This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter of American Greatness, recovering politician, writing about this question. And this will be a four-part response, and this is part one. The question is straightforward. Why are today's politics so awful? It's a thought-provoking question. I started to think to myself, well, I could guess ahead of time or I could read the essay. Thaddeus, a very good evening to you. And
good evening to you.
A deal of the challenge for me is to say, well, it must have been this bad before, but you mentioned that we now have communications that make the awfulness impossible to escape. Why did this happen to us? What did we do to deserve this? Are we bad citizens? Are we ill-read? Why are they so awful?
Well, I think that what you have to start from the reality that we live amidst a communication revolution where in the palm of your hand you can communicate, express yourself to extents undreamt in human history. So when you start from that premise, John, you can start to see that instead of having to rely upon a letter to the editor, you can actually post on Facebook, you can go to Instagram, and you can express your political opinions, and someone can read them as well. And you can do this every single waking minute of the day. You can tune in to cable television for 24/7 and be exposed to political news and follow it. You can watch C-SPAN and actually call in and maybe talk to an elected official. You can have your views on an elected official posted to Twitter. You can see groups now with dark money engaging in the social media and even in the traditional media to bring politics to your doorstep 24/7 if they want it, if they buy enough advertising. So it seems to be very pervasive. The technologies around us allow it to be pervasive. And for the public, that leads to a sense that things are in a heightened sense or an exacerbated sense of a political world. Now, to many that haven't necessarily been politically active in the past, it may seem that way. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean that people are engaged in or paying attention to politics less. But it does seem that you have the capability to express your views and have your views seen with more frequency. So it's not necessarily the actual expression of your views that has changed. It's just the frequency of them, not the intensity, but the frequency in which you can be expressing yourself.
And what we have then is an environment where we're pounded with what are called ideas, but really it seems a lot of rhetoric meant to call attention to the speaker and to provoke. And is that something that's not happened before? In other words, before the communications revolution, I guess it was easy to avoid. You just don't mix it up with political speakers. Now you can't escape them.
Well, to a certain extent, what it does, John, is it facilitates it. It is more of a facilitation than an instigator. You may have political views. You may want to express them. But in the past, you had to write a letter to the local editor of the paper and hope they would run it in the next publication. Today, you can just post it online.
Right.
You can go to Twitter and get it. So what happens then is you have the greater ability to be heard, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the intensity of what you feel is any different. It's just easier for you to express it. That also leads you to be able, through these technologies, to meet with other like-minded people and join together and engage in concerted political action, where in the past you might have had to actually physically go to a local Republican club to do it, or maybe go to the local Democratic club, Libertarian club, or some other political interest group. Now you can do it online, and it's so much easier not only to participate, but also find other people willing to collaborate with you on that, which further intensifies the frequency of political engagement, but it doesn't necessarily change your passion for the issue or your antipathy towards a candidate.
What I was thinking of, that is, was how I don't go online in any of the social media sites because all of a sudden all this rubbish comes flying at me. And I don't seek to be disordered. And that's what it feels like. So I stay away from those sites. I don't. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I might have gone on out of curiosity. Now I'm no longer curious because I find the sites deliberately constructed to provoke.
That's what put it, and for the public, it causes a problem because what you're talking about is like the micro-targeting, the ability of the politicians and political interest groups to target you and try to bring you into or to at least consider their position that they're trying to advance. And that can lead to a sense of disorder because you did not want to inject politics into whatever you're doing at that period of time online. And yet it might pop in a box. It might pop up in a YouTube ad. You might be watching a YouTube ad about woodworking and all of a sudden a political ad pops up. And you'll be like, well, I wanted to get away from politics, but they found you. And that can lead to a sense of disorder. It can lead to a sense almost that your person is being invaded by politicians despite your best efforts to avoid them. And the majority of Americans, I think, really believe that politics is a part of life. It's not one they particularly like, but it is not life itself. It's not life and death to them. And they can take or leave it, and they engage in it infrequently. What's happened to a certain extent is that people are being, as you point out, being subjected to politics despite their best efforts to avoid it. And that does lead to a sense that you're being pressured, that you're being in many ways, your personal space is being invaded by a subject which you don't particularly want to engage in, certainly not at that point in time.
9 years ago, is that right? Yeah, about 9 years ago, 2015, is that 9 years ago? It's almost 9 years, 8 years. I was entertaining myself by giving $3 to the Hillary Clinton for President campaign, thinking that this would put me on the mailing list or the email list of the campaign so I could stay abreast of where and how it was going to win. That was the opinion in 2015. I regret having done that now because ever since I've been a target of all these strange political voices who believe that I'll give them money if they come up with yet another way of explaining why they belong in the Congress or in the White House. And it's not a list you can get off of. Because I did it. I would never do such a thing again. And I advise if somebody has not done it to stay away from it. Because you make yourself, well, target. Is that the right word, Thaddeus? Target?
Well, you've raised your hand in the air to denote that you're someone who is politically involved and that you might have certain leanings. And so people either try to push you in that direction or pull you away from it. And you become, in many ways, you're like the deer in the woods with a nice set of antlers, and you stuck your head out from between the trees into the clearing, and you shouldn't do that on opening day. And every day is opening day for politicians and fundraising. But what happens is, you point out, John, it's not necessarily the intensity of people's politics. It's the communication revolution has facilitated their ability to express those views, the frequency with which they can express them, and the ability to engage other people who may not want to be engaged in politics at a point in time, like yourself with the Hillary Clinton list. And that people to think that politics is not only more infrequent, it's more intense, more intrusive, and more annoying, and more dismaying, and more disordered than it has ever been.
Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, Recovering Politician, Part 1 of Why Are Politics So Awful? I'm John Batchelor.